You are listening to Salty Believer Unscripted, a conversation on Christian ministry and the Christian life.
This is Salty Believer Unscripted. I'm Josiah Walker.
I'm Brian Catherman.
And on today's episode, we're continuing our conversation about Mormonism and the LDS faith versus Christianity. On the last episode, we made some bold statements and some strong claims that Mormonism is not just another branch or denomination within Christianity.
Yeah. You got friends who might be offended by those statements.
I have friends who would be offended by that statement.
Have you heard people get offended? Go, no, that's not fair that you don't think we're Christian.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've had those conversations.
And I don't know if our listeners know this or if it needs to be reminded, but you know, you and I live here in Utah. We live just outside Salt Lake City. So, I mean, I've grown up here. I've had a front row seat to watch Mormonism shift and change over the years. When I was a child, they were very different. They said, no, we're Mormon. And now
if you called, when I was a kid, and there were kids in school, you know, that were LDS Mormon. If you called them Christian, those were fighting words.
Right.
We're not Christian. We're Mormon. Right. Man, it's a massive difference.
That was in the '80s.
Yeah.
Now we're here, 2024, and my daughter will come home from school because she got in a fight with a Mormon because he tried to convince her he's a Christian.
Right, and they get, there's a high level of offense.
We're Christians, not Mormons. Right.
There's this high level of offense of like, how dare you not think we're Mormons?
So our listeners might not realize that there's these big differences, and they might think that we're just being sticks in the mud.
Right. I want to deal with five really big critical differences that I think you could apply the same five differences to things like the Jehovah's Witnesses. Honestly,
are there only five differences?
No, there's a lot, but these are the five biggies.
Okay. So I'm gonna
I'm gonna come back to these ones, but these would be how you would analyze the comparisons when people say, well, all of the religions worship the same God and this, that.
Yeah.
No. These five things.
There's many roads that lead to heaven.
Yeah. All those statements. Kind of these five things, but especially with Mormonism. I'll tell you now, but I want to go somewhere else first. But I'm going to say the five things are, we have a different God. We have different anthropology, meaning we've come from a different place. We are different who we are. We have a different Jesus, a different gospel or a way to salvation. And we have a different eternity.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk about that. But here's the thing. When people get all wound up because you say Mormons aren't Christians, I like to go...
I mean, I've had Mormon missionaries come to my door and say that they're the same.
Yeah, we're the same, which I think is a really big problem. I think it's a terrible, disastrous problem for Mormons because of their own scripture.
Oh, really?
So Joseph Smith in the Pearl of Great Price, they have four different books that are... a collection of other books, much bigger canon of scripture than the 66 books of God's word. They say, hey, there's a lot of other things that are equal or more valuable than God's word, more spiritual. But one of the things that they have in their scripture, in their canon of scripture, which I have a copy right here in front of me, is the Joseph Smith history.
Okay.
And I'm going to paraphrase some stuff, but I'm going to read some other stuff. This is Joseph Smith history, starting in chapter 1. I'm just going to go with maybe verse 8. He's talking about sort of his upbringing, and his family was thinking about becoming Presbyterian. And then verse 8 says, during this time of great excitement in my mind was, excuse me, during this time of great excitement, my mind was called up to serious reflection and great uneasiness. Although my feelings were deep and often poignant, still I kept myself aloof from all these parties, though I attended their several meetings, and often on occasion, as occasion would permit. In the process of time, my mind would be somewhat partial to the Methodist sect. I felt some desire to be united with them. And so he's going through this thing. I just want to kind of walk through. So he's trying to figure out, what religion should I be? And then he says that there was this time, I got to go back here, I guess it was, I'm trying to figure out where this is. I'm not very familiar with these things. Oh, so you go back a few verses, verse 5 in chapter 1. Sometime in the second year after our removal to Manchester, there was in that place where we lived an unusual excitement for the subject of religion, which this is the Second Great Awakening.
Sure.
But it commenced with the Methodists, but soon became general among the sects in that region of the country. Indeed, the whole district of the country seemed affected by it, and the great multitudes united themselves with different religious parties, which created no small stir and division amongst the people, some crying low here and others crying low there. Some were contending for the Methodist faith, some for the Presbyterian, and some for the Baptist.
Okay.
Now, he later, and I don't want to get into all this here, but Joseph Smith, the founder and first prophet, later goes and he finds out that if he asks for wisdom, he can go. So he goes out into the woods, and he has this first vision when a bodily father and a bodily son, doesn't say they're actually Jesus and God, but this whole thing goes on, and he gets all wrapped up by a demon, and he's going to be devoured, and then these lights show up, and it's kind of a really weird story.
Yeah.
Kind of a disturbing story, this first vision story. But then, as soon as he's freed up and he can speak after being, you know, assaulted by a demon, and then apparently in the presence of God or something, if it's not God, probably not God, he has the question he has to ask. He says, I came here for this purpose. And so he asked which one of these religions he should join. And then chapter 1, verse 19, I was answered that I must join none of them, for they are all wrong. And the personage, he never refers to him in this particular account as like Jesus or who addressed me, said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they all draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and they teach doctrines and commandments of men, having the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He again forbade me to join with any of them, and many other things he said, and he goes on. So he hasn't even, like, he hadn't thought that any of them could be wrong, but this says they're all wrong and they're all terrible. Here's the problem. This was like in the early part of the 1800s,
right?
And the Presbyterian creeds haven't changed.
Right.
The Baptist faith and message of the Southern Baptist Convention is newer than that, but the Baptist confessions and creeds haven't changed. The Methodist confession and creeds haven't changed. We've stuck to what we believe, and yet their scriptures say that those were all wrong and an abomination, and you can't join any of them. And now, oddly, these individuals are saying, we're the same as you. That means either their creeds are now an abomination like ours, or they don't hold to this scripture anymore, and Joseph Smith's first vision is moot, or they don't know their scriptures, or they just want to redefine some things. I don't know how that works. Anyway,
there's obviously a difference because Joseph Smith says there's a difference.
He says that Baptists, Presbyterians, and Methodists are an abomination. Their creeds are disgusting to these characters he saw that he claims were God.
Right.
I'm going to contend that these creeds are disgusting to some characters, but I don't think they're disgusting to God. Anyway, five major differences.
Okay, let's have them. Number one.
Let's hit there. Number one was we have a different God.
Okay.
The God of the LDS faith, and I'm going to give you, at the end of this podcast, I'm going to give you a place where you can go look at first sources from the Mormon Church.
Perfect.
You can watch and you can learn all these things. I'm going to give you a place to go.
It's one thing if we say it, but the church shows us how things are different.
So, in fact, I'll tell you where that is right now. If you go to saltybeliever.com, you go to resources, you go to classes in the resources section. The very first one is going to be called, and you can also Google search this or just find it on the saltybeliever.com website. What is Mormonism? A look through an evangelical lens. And what you will find is, you know, 15, 20, I can't remember how many videos, short cartoon type videos that ask questions that are produced by the LDS Church that explain who they are, with some discussion for things to pay attention to. And you will see all the things I'm talking about in those videos.
Perfect.
So number one, we have a different God.
Okay.
The LDS Church holds that Elohim, the God that they would say is the God of the Bible, God, the Father, was once a created being.
Okay.
On a planet maybe like ours, he had a body like ours.
Interesting.
He had an experience like ours in which he was worthy enough through his faithful works to be elevated to be able to become a god, thus to create his own planet to do his own stuff.
So the God in Christianity has always existed.
He's always existed. He doesn't have a body like ours. He's not like us. He's entirely other. He's different.
Right.
Right? And he has always existed as God, same today as he was yesterday, as he will be tomorrow.
Great.
Right?
Okay.
So, different God.
Number two.
Number two. A different anthropology, or I mean, like the...
That's a big word.
The person of man.
Right.
Humanity
study of man.
Is different.
Okay.
Right? Because in their theology, Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother from this planet, so they got this other being, had in a pre-existent world...
Okay.
All the people that would ever exist.
Okay.
All those people are also all the angels. So they don't have a different species of angels.
Okay.
They have just pre-existent, post-existent people.
Right.
The firstborn, his name was Jesus, and the secondborn's name was Satan, and then the thirdborn and the fifth. And so we actually, according to LDS belief, had this pre-existent life.
Correct.
We're just like angels. We're just like Jesus, exactly the same, whatever. And then we come here to get a body.
Yeah.
And then once we have a body, just like that Elohim story, if we do all the right things, you get exalted into some sort of heaven. And maybe, because families get to be together forever, you bring your family, you know, your godhood and whatever.
Yeah.
So totally different sort of internal nature.
Correct.
Also, now this is a hotly debated issue, but there's a really high emphasis on the will of man, the free will of man, and not the depravity of man. They don't really focus much on sin nature of man.
Right.
So those are some pretty big differences.
Okay.
Number three.
Yes.
Number three. Different Jesus.
Yes.
And when I say that, I mean like different Savior, but different
Jesus. So you already said that Jesus and Satan were brothers.
Yeah. So Jesus was a created being,
okay.
Which if there was ever a time when there wasn't Jesus,
yeah.
There also wasn't the Father, because he
right.
Wouldn't have been the Son. But if there was ever a time when there wasn't Jesus, if he was not eternal, he's yeah. Not God, he shouldn't be worshipped, all this kind of stuff. But also, he's not the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
The Jesus of the Bible always existed.
A perfect example there would be to look at John 1:1 in the Bible.
Yes.
And then look at the Joseph Smith translation of John 1:1.
That's not a translation. That's a reinterpretation to fit needs.
And notice the differences between those two.
Yes. So Jesus was his created being, and therefore he doesn't have a divine nature. He only has a human nature like us, okay. Just like Satan. So he's
right.
He's the brother of Satan, just as he's the brother of us, and he's the same being as all
the
angels.
So in a sense, we could become just like Jesus. We could be
yeah,
just like
and so often they'll use language like he was our example. He did stuff to help us, right. Not to totally
yeah.
Save us, right?
Okay.
A different Jesus.
I see that.
Number four, a different gospel. They
okay.
Call it a plan of happiness. We
yeah.
Saw that in our temple tour.
We did.
And maybe they talk about the gospel, but the idea here is that the way of salvation is different. The way of
yep.
Salvation of the Bible is that there are no works that can be done so that no one can boast.
Right.
That only through the shed blood of Jesus, like the Passover lamb, as our complete substitute, can we be saved. Nothing we can do whatsoever. Like a dead person can't raise a dead person back to life. We have to depend on God, right? We are dead.
Yeah.
Again, that anthropology piece. Their gospel is if you do enough good works and Jesus will help you. And so grace is like you do your part, you do everything you can possibly do, and then if you've done enough, then God will come along and just pick up the
yeah.
Slack.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is we can never do enough, number one. Number two, that the Bible doesn't talk about that at all. The Bible does not say God helps those who help themselves.
Right.
The Bible says you are dead.
That's right.
And only Christ can save you,
yeah.
And there's nothing you can do to save you.
Right.
Right? So a different gospel,
okay.
That's number four, different salvation. We don't have this plan of happiness. We
right.
Legitimately have, we need to be saved,
I'm
otherwise
sure the
we're
Bible
damned.
Says we are going to have suffering in this life.
Well, and by the way, they don't have really an ultimate hell. They have these three
yeah.
Layers of heaven, and they say,
right.
Well, the bottom level is not that great.
Yeah.
They've
it's
eliminated,
from good to great, basically.
Yeah, good to great. They've eliminated the idea of an eternal punishment. So
correct.
This salvation seems unnecessary.
How could we be punished if we're just like Jesus?
Yeah, right.
So number five?
Number five, a different eternity.
Sure.
We are going to be in the very presence of God, and that's the reward. We get to be with Jesus. The different eternity that LDS folks are looking for is this sealed for all
right.
Eternity with family. Families can be together forever. I get to be with my family. So when I go to heaven, yay, I get to see my family. And I get to see all the people who didn't come and get a body yet that are in my family. And I get to see all my ancestors before. And I'm completely sunk. I'm tied to all that.
Right.
And that's the great reward. And also maybe I get to be a God. And also I get it, you know, hopefully if I didn't do everything perfectly, somebody else gets to do it on earth in my behalf. And then I get to be elevated. This whole, it's all about, in the LDS side, it's all about us.
Well,
whereas the eternity side of the Bible is going to be in the presence of God
right.
Forever in a reconstituted and even better Garden of Eden environment.
Biblical Christianity is God-focused, where Mormonism or Latter-day Saints are very self-focused.
Right.
And kind of mm-hmm. How you can, through your works, better yourself.
Now, let's be really clear here. Those are the five differences. Different God, different anthropology, different Jesus, different gospel, different eternity. But there are many who are not LDS who call themselves Christians that struggle with these same problems.
For sure.
I mean, a lot of the sort of charismatic, I'm not saying all of charismatics, but the really big mega churchy
mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe soft prosperity or full-on prosperity gospel preachers make it all about us. And
right.
So that's why Christians say to them, I don't think you're a Christian either.
Right.
Biblical converted Christians say, wait, you're making it all
right.
About you? I don't think a biblical Christian would do that. They'd want to make it about God.
Which the flip side of that is why it looks like Mormonism is the same as Christianity. Because if you've been reading some book about how you can live your best life now, that sounds very similar to...
Yeah, when you have that much compromise, right, and when you have that many people who are false teachers, false leaders, false prophets, communicating a gospel of self and driving everything to how you can be happy and how you can be great, when that's where Christianity has gone, it makes it really easy for even Mormonism, with these five major differences, to say, well, we're like that, so what's the problem?
Right.
What's the problem, right?
And then they come to us and they say, well, they have a more complete or a more full gospel. And these are really shocking statements that you're making, because these are major differences, but when you, on the surface, you hear the same words. They say God. They say they worship Jesus Christ. They say amen when they pray. It sounds, on the surface, very similar.
A lot of the little things, hey, we have all that, but when you start to really peel it back, or you read some of these things, or you do some of the heavy lifting that you really probably ought to do in evaluating. In fact, here's my encouragement to our listeners. Do the heavy lifting and evaluate what you believe in the church where you go. And if you go to the church where I pastor, you know what? Evaluate what I'm saying against God's word. Right. If you listen to this podcast, evaluate it against what we're saying. Yeah. Take that and compare it to God's word, because what we're saying is almost pointless. God's word should rule the day. The hard part here is there's not an encouragement to say, here's kind of what we believe. Isn't that great? And then peeling back the layers more and more and more. And that's what we're talking about when we went and saw the temple. And we see, for example, a different gospel with works, works, works. We see Jesus being discussed in a totally different way. We see, like, just all that conversation sealed for a different eternity. We saw all that in the temple just when you start to evaluate these different five things.
No, and the different eternity, that alone is such a stark difference between Christianity and Mormonism. I remember kind of flippantly joking with my Mormon friends growing up that, well, if I was wrong and they were right, I was set, because I'm just going to the good heaven then.
And you get another option, so all the people can do all the... You get another option to hear the gospel when you die, if you're in the bottom good heaven, according to Mormon theology. Right. And then your ancestors that come behind... not your ancestors, your progeny that comes behind you can get baptized on your behalf, get sealed for you and your wife, and you can still get to go to the... You can still get to go to be a god eventually anyway.
Right. So...
So what in the world, man?
You know, as opposed to the Bible that says there is hell.
Right.
For all eternity. So.
And there is a God that's so much bigger than our happiness.
Right.
And he lives for his glory.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just share that glory flippantly.
No.
And I don't think he's going to be too happy with you know, a whole entire false religion that is leading people to the wrong places.
Nope.
This is not good.
Yeah. So
it is not good.
Like you said, don't just take our word for it. Examine the scriptures, read the Bible, look at what the church has to say. Remind me that source.
Yeah, let's go to this again. So if you go to saltybeliever.com, it's a class that we've made. It's just really a big post.
Okay.
We have our mission teams take a look at this. If you go to resources, then within resources, there's like a class. It might be called Classes and Reflections or something like that.
I think so,
it's right at the top.
So.
Okay, it's right at the top. Once you get in there, it's going to be right at the top, The title is, What is Mormonism? A Look Through an Evangelical Lens. And the videos, unless the LDS Church has taken them down, are just all from YouTube that the LDS Church has produced to answer questions like, what is atonement?
Right.
Who is Jesus? According to the LDS video.
And they talk about that preexistence and God and Jesus.
All
and
that stuff.
I've seen those videos.
And then we've put some questions in there on the Salty Believer page to draw your attention to. If this, then how does this relate to this scripture? What about this? What about that? But get it from their sources.
That way you can do that heavy lifting.
And go, wait a minute, this is what they believe.
So,
because it looks great, but man. And so the next time someone comes and says, oh, Mormonism's the same as Christianity, say, hey, can we talk more?
Yeah.
Let's talk about different God, different humanity, different Jesus, different gospel or plan of salvation, and different eternity.
Those
are the big pieces, right?
Understand that they're different.
Forget
and then talk through that stuff.
Forget they don't drink coffee or wear weird underwear or something. So be it. They do that.
I'd have a lot more respect for my Mormon friends and family if they would say, yes, we're different, and then we could talk about those differences.
So let's actually talk about that. Don't be afraid to say these things in a respectful way. I'll tell you kind of how that's gone. I've done this a couple times with people. I used to have a neighbor who was a stake president, so multiple wards kind of working under him. He came over and we were talking about some things, and I said, hey, you know, can you show me from the Book of Mormon and from your, you know, other stuff that this does line up with the Bible? And he was really honest and said, it really can't be done. It's, you know, we believe it's an additional revelation that you don't have and we're different. And so we started a dialogue of just, let's talk through these differences. Another time there was a stake president here in the area where we pastor and some folks that we've connected with here in the community.
Sure.
And they really wanted us to do a bunch of ministry things with them and call them Christians. And we went to lunch and I said, stake president, so-and-so, I realize that you have your own convictions and you should. And I have my own convictions, but they don't line up.
Yeah.
Let's just look at these one by one. Let's talk about who you see is God. And I just asked, so I see this as God. Would you agree? And he said, oh, we're the same. And I said, so God, your God was not ever created? And all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, actually.
Yeah.
And we just started kind of walking. Yeah. Where do you come from? I don't hold to this preexistence. So then my creeds and my confessions don't line up
right. With
your creeds and your confessions, right?
Yeah.
And it was okay.
No,
it was a great conversation. It's a great guy. He knows where we're at. I know where he's at. That's okay. We should be able to do that, right?
Despite what you see on YouTube where people are yelling at Mormons on street corners or outside temples, you can actually have a respectful, productive dialogue about our differences.
You need to know what you believe.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
But it can happen. And so that would be the encouragement that we would give.
Absolutely.
I don't think we're going to spend too much more time. No. We're going to get back to our Revelation series.
Revelation, I think, is what we're going through now. But hopefully these three episodes have been helpful for you, and it just was a unique experience to kind of look at Mormonism a little more in depth. Maybe this has left you with more questions. You can always drop us a line at saltybeliever@gmail.com.
Nice.
And let us know.
Hey, I want to end again. I read this in the last podcast, but I think it'd be a good reminder once more. Paul, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatia because they had maybe had some Mormon missionaries come knock on the door. Obviously not back then. Maybe had some Jehovah's Witnesses come knock on the door. Maybe had some Buddhists or some Hindus or I don't know, right? They had connected somewhere, and this is what he wrote to them because he was so concerned. Galatians 1:6. I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are troubling you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. I'm going to read that again. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, a curse be on him. As we have said before, I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, curse be on him.
Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Salty Believer Unscripted is a production of saltybeliever.com. Visit the website to find more resources, like the podcast you've just listened to.